This is Mike, a dear friend of mine and overall incredible human being. In today's podcast, we dove headfirst into his story and how his past and alter ego shaped him into the intentional human he is today. We discuss the differences between doing and being and how to maintain balance between the two. We even went into the process of becoming and the experiences 2021 has to offer. This conversation was held at the beach, so if you hear the waves or some wind in the background, that is why. So I hope you listen to this podcast with an open heart and open mind and continue down your path of becoming intentionally human. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Intentionally Human podcast. I'm your host, Hayden Trowbridge, and today I am joined by probably one of my favorite humans. He's incredibly grounded and just loves to seek adventure. And so I wanted to bring him on the show and bring him on the podcast to share his story and really dive deep into some of his brands, his mentality, even his meditation and breathwork practice, just to see how he's able to achieve just some incredible things, such as running like 50 miles in a day, was it?
Whoa, 70 is crazy.
50 miles.
53.5.
So that voice that you're hearing right now, that is the Sunrise Cowboy, Mike Ryder.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm excited to go ahead and share some of the information or the philosophies, I guess, I've developed through living this crazy experience called my life.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited to have you on. I mean, I think how long ago was it? Almost 3 months now.
We've known each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 months.
Three months. Yeah, and we're besties, bro.
Yeah, the bond happens really quickly. Yeah. I feel like when a deep person associates themselves with another deep person, because the layers are already shed. And
totally.
There's no barriers or anything, so you just dive deep with somebody.
Yeah.
And you're there.
Yeah, and I think that what was awesome is that we met through Mentorship Mastermind, and I know that after the first call, you immediately reached out to me, and even on the call, you're like,
Was it? I think it was you reaching out to me, Hayden.
I don't know about that.
We'll have to fact check this. No, I'm just playing. I don't know. You've been in my DMs for a while. Like, he's been bugging me to make this podcast forever.
Yeah, so he like literally called me. He's like, so where are we doing this podcast, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody was, it was crazy. Like, I just remember whoever reached out to who, but we talked that, what was it? We met in person.
We met in person for Levi's birthday.
Yeah, so Levi, he's off to the camera over here. He's just chilling. He's kind of our cameraman / tech guy today. But yeah, we met up for Levi's birthday, and he'd been out here for, what was it? Like literally 2 months? 3 months. Yeah, Levi had been out here for 3 months, and so we were celebrating his birthday, and Mike came in with the Tokaya, the vegan tacos.
Yeah, it was really the whole mentality of the mastermind was like, here's a bunch of strangers, 50 strangers globally around the entire world, but let's not call each other strangers, but let's go ahead and be open to the idea of these people becoming family.
Yeah.
And then I thought about Levi because he's in my small group, and I was like, well, you know, he's only been here for 2 months, so I'm sure he doesn't have family here. Like, his birthday's happening. It could be a lonely day for a lot of people when they're not surrounded by a lot of love. So let's just be that family. Let's be who we say we are.
Yeah.
And then I started calling up a bunch of people kind of start. That's what I did reach out to you.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you're in LA.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And then
that was a crazy day.
It was. And then we chilled in the hot tub in this like massive mansion that Charlie Chaplin and Harry Houdini used to live in. And we're chilling in this like little plastic hot tub, and it was glorious. And then we started having conversations, and I was like, okay, I can talk to this guy.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think that's when we got into, that was like one of our first conversation was with Julia, who's another one of our friends, and her dad does insane hiking trips.
Yes.
And Mike, he literally was like, I'm going to beat your dad at his own hiking
at
trip.
At his own game. Yeah. Yeah.
And so this dude goes into how he did a 50 mile run. So from, was it Malibu to Orange County? Newport?
It was Point Doom. It was the entire coast of Los Angeles, basically. It was the very northern tip, like Point Doom area. And I went all the way to the port of Los Angeles. And that spanned, like I said earlier, 53.5 miles. And it took me like half a day. And the training going up to it was spontaneous as well. There was no training.
There was literally nothing.
Yeah, there was nothing.
Yeah.
It was June 2nd, I remember. I was sitting in my couch and I was frustrated, you know, with all the social media postings about, you know, these riots happening and people feeling racially oppressed and, you know, for thousands of years. And it's just really becoming apparent in the media right now. And I was like, well, I have this platform, Native Quest. I don't feel comfortable voicing my opinion because I'm not necessarily a part of the oppression as much as other people, but I feel like I could do something. And then I was like, well, I could run.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I started researching like a pledge per mile kind of run, mm-hmm. and came up with the idea to run. At first it was 100 miles.
Oh.
And then everyone was like, shut up.
Are you
like,
sure?
Yeah, yeah, like, sure. Come on. You haven't ran this yeah. year. What do you mean 100 miles in 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I was like, I could do it. but then we talked it down to 50. And then, yeah, I started training with like 2.5 weeks preparation. No really running experience. And just went after it, you know. Yeah. Prayed and God helped me through it. The mentality of the people I was doing it for. And also... life, you know, life before the run, I think helped me do it. Like, that's what's going on in my head is like, I've been through lots of struggles before this and I've gotten through them. That's mm-hmm. why I'm here today. And that's kind of some of the things that fuel me for the current right now, that yeah. run.
Tell me a little bit about life before the run and some of those challenges, if you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I would say just like, one of the major points of the life before the run and how that's impacted not only, you know, the physical, so going into the running, the mental, so what effect that's had there,
uh-huh.
The emotional, and then even like the spiritual / energetical of connecting to something greater than yourself.
Definitely. I would say I've been on a search since high school was over of trying to find myself and what it is that I want to do. And I feel like before that it was just like a chameleon-esque kind of, I'll put the mask on that you like so we can become friends. And mm-hmm. there was never, or it was more rare to be authentic, and it felt like a normal thing for me to be a chameleon. And then I went to all these places. I lived in Chicago for a little bit to find myself. Didn't happen. I went to Humboldt to find myself, and that's kind of where things started to evolve.
It's the trees, man.
It was the trees. It was the green. It was yeah. the 100 shades of green. It yeah. was insane. I remember the first day. It was like a foggy day like this.
Yeah.
I got off the train and I literally had nowhere to sleep.
Whoa.
At all. And school started the next day.
Dang.
And I get off the train and it's super foggy. And I'm walking through the crowd and I have a phone number, you know, my friend's brother who lives there, and I'm going to call him. And then I'm just walking through and I see this like little park, like a patch of green, because I couldn't see the whole park. And I get a little bit closer and there's a tree trunk that's like spans 8 feet in diameter. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if this is a tree trunk that's chopped down, mm-hmm. what do these behemoths look like without the fog?
Yeah.
And I, you know, captivated my attention since then.
Yeah.
But like Humboldt was the journey. Not having a place to sleep, like that was a part of it yeah. too. And then that started the van life. But at that time, I was trying to find myself. It was beautiful because I didn't have my family with me. I didn't have people who knew who I was as Michael Jonathan Chavez.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be interesting to create this alter ego to experiment with who I am. Mm-hmm. So then thus was born Clyde Ryder, which you know from the Zoom calls.
Yeah.
And this was pretty much an alter ego where I can experiment with who I think the real Michael Chavez is mm. or who I want the real Michael Chavez to become. Mm. And that allowed me to just be myself because nobody knew who I was. Like I only knew my brother's friend. That was it. And I was in a completely new environment. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just started to be.
Yeah.
And the only problem with the Humboldt journey was I wasn't grounded yet.
Mm.
You know, I was being my authentic self, but it was coming from a place of, you know, I just wasn't backed by God or faith. Mm. So when I got done with Humboldt, I graduated. I took an internship at Business Expo Center, a small convention place, so I can be an event planner. And the internship turned into a job because I put in like ridiculous amount of hours and put in my hustle to get it. And then I got the job and I thought, okay, well, this is what, you know, this is what everyone said I should have. I did the college thing. I took the conveyor belt of life and I got the degree and now I'm working, I'm getting paid. You know, I'm getting paid more than I ever have before.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was kind of nice in the beginning, but after a while, it was just kind of felt like this caged animal at my desk, just trapped and like fidgety all the time.
Yeah.
Like if there was, I wish there was a camera that always looked at me.
There probably was.
Yeah, there probably was. There definitely was. Because I probably got up from my desk like every 8 minutes or something to go have a conversation with somebody and just walk.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the life for me. And I remember just feeling really out of balance and I didn't know what to do about it. I don't want to use the word depressed, but I was like the lowest mentally that I think I've ever been. And usually I'm a very positive, high vibrating person. So I was like, all right, well, when I was in Humboldt, like I was surrounded by nature. Like that's what grounded me there. So maybe I should do that here in California, or Southern California. So I remember just hitting up a bunch of people, who wants to go backpacking this weekend? You know, threw up on my Instagram and then nobody wanted to go.
Yeah.
Which is funny because if I say that right now,
yeah,
I'll have a crowd who wants to go adventure this weekend. But then, you know, there's a different type of people. So I went out, just me, a bottle of tequila and a notepad.
Yeah.
And I ventured out to Los Angeles just from random trail. And I was always interested in the mentalities and philosophy of Native Americans in Humboldt. And some of the things they would talk about is like, where are you at, mind, body, and soul?
Yeah.
Do some reflections on that. So that's what I did. I drank half a bottle of tequila. And then I just looked at myself in a mirror and was completely brutally honest with where I was at in each of those areas of life. Mentally, just unstable. There's no goals, there's no vision, there's no forward progress. I'm feeding myself social media content that does me no good. My body, I'm eating donuts on the way to work in the morning and just surviving on what I can and fast food on the way home. And I'm not working out. And then my spirit, I was like, well, if I saw God on the corner, and he saw me, I think we would just walk by each other because we wouldn't even know who we were. And I was like, okay, I have to fix all of that. There's a lot wrong there. So I started making a checklist of things that I thought would help, you know, like working out, reading books, and maybe go to church. And that was huge. And I had like, I remember just started screaming and howling at the moon and just like releasing all of this stagnant energy within myself. And I woke up the next morning, got out really early, and I probably smelled like tequila a little bit. And I straight up just with my dirt in my clothes, you know, just like I am now, like I'm a little dirty, I just got off work, but I went straight to church. That was like the first, starting the journey was really that day for my spirituality. And then from there, I kind of became a bit addicted to it. And I guess to understand more of the story, I'm just going to flashback just a little bit. In Humboldt, I used to be like this, I'm a passionate person.
Just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Very extreme. And everything I do, I am passionate and fully involved. So, you know, whether that's adventure and travel and hanging out and being in a present state with people, that's also like, you know, the vices as well. And for me, that was like drugs and alcohol in college. And there was one night where the semester was over and we went to go celebrate. And yeah, it just got heavy and kind of got out of hand. And I don't usually do this, but at this time I was completely incoherent. I was blacked out. I only remember this story from other people's accounts of telling me the story. I have no idea what happened. But I got behind my vehicle, my van, which I was living in at the time, and I didn't even make it like 4 miles before I ran into a parked car, completely totaled my van, busted my nose on the steering wheel, and then I woke up into a conscious state. I was up the whole night, but I mentally woke up and was there in a jail cell with someone else's sweat, someone else's t-shirt, and I woke up to violence. Like I was aggressively violent, and I remember just punching the plexiglass and like banging my head on it, and just, I'm not supposed to be here. I don't deserve to be here. I didn't do anything wrong. Because I truly thought that, because I was not there for the incident. And I just like was waking up. Yeah. And that, you know, had a massive impact and shift in my life. Fast forward to being in California, I was now having to take these DUI program classes at this time, 9 months for blowing a .28, which is like over 3 times the alcohol limit. And in these classes, they made me go to AA. And I didn't want to go to AA because I didn't want to admit that I had a problem. So my aunt had this other program she was involved in called Celebrate Recovery, which is church for addicts. And I was like, well, I said I wanted to go to church, so yeah, I can just like kill a couple of birds with the same stone here. And I started to go, and I was surrounded by radical people, dude, like radical people. People who were involved with meth, in heroin, prostitution, everything, dude, everything. There was people who were serving double sentences of life, who got out early and were there. that's my crew.
Wow.
And I used to go there like every Friday night. That was my Friday nights. And I remember they gave me the blue chip because I went there the first day. You know, you're going to be sober now. You're in Celebrate Recovery. And I was like, that's not what I signed up for. I signed up so you can sign my card. And I literally drank that night. But.
Like, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no.
Cheers.
Wow. Yeah, it was nuts, dude. It was nuts. But that was a start. You know, I had to be there. And at first it was just to get my card signed, but. You know, these people who were serving life, you know, were doing all these crazy things in a past life, they're born again, man. And they're completely different. You see them holding on to babies. You see them worshiping in front of the crowd. And I've never felt the Holy Spirit like I did in those times. Like, that was some of the heaviest moments of my life. And when they shared their testimonies about how they changed and completely just accepted Christ and allowed Christ to walk through them and not live this double standard life, just be fully on the righteous path, their whole experience changed and motivated me to finally stop doing this tightrope kind of dance with thrill and fun and earthly parties to this righteous path, which is still fun and adventure. Like, I've been having more fun and adventures than I ever have.
Yeah.
But that was the start, yeah.
Totally. Yeah, and, you know, I'm personally someone in, like, who in high school and even, like, going on in my future life, like, I really am not into substances, just with stuff in my family's past. And so, like, even in high school, like, you know, expect, like, oh, you go to the parties and you have a couple sips or whatever, or not a couple sips in high school, it's like, you know, kind of, but, like, I've never been into substances. And so hearing that story, and then now kind of saying, whoa, like, it does have that impact on people, but it doesn't define who they are, right?
Right.
So I've been in a mentality for so long, it's like, oh, that person does that, that's all who they are, right? And that's something that I'm trying to actually consciously work my way out of, because I know it's not true, because I see people when they're, you know, sober and whatever.
Crazy shifts, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, these are amazing people, I want to spend time with them. And then, you know, they get in that state where they're either drunk or on some sort of substance. And I'm just like, I get off about it. I'm like, oh, that, I don't like that person.
Yeah.
But then you realize it's like, it's the same person. It's just finding, I think it's more finding that acceptance within yourself to then say, that's not who that person is.
Exactly.
And you're like literally living proof. It's like, that was a past life, like you said. And I think those people will start to realize in the future, like you may have, like, that's not what life is about, really, about all that partying. And so I appreciate you sharing that story, because it's given me a new perspective on that. And so I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's like having grace for people, like Christ had grace for us. You know, we've all had these like insane journeys, and some of us been through some things worse than others, you know, going through the ringer. But like the person who's talking to you right now was the person who always was then. It's just every once in a while like you said, the substance would kick in and would alter me. And it was the doings, right? I was just doing wrong things and was a negative person to be around at that time. So it was like, it's totally like, if we were friends back then, like I completely understand if you wanted to get away from me at that time, because I was kind of just like this tornado of chaos. But even though we would have like these small breakthroughs in the daytime sober where we could have these conversations, because this would still happen.
Yeah.
But then you never know. You never know what else I had in my pocket.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that you brought up earlier about like the kind of the alter ego, right? Where you have like, because it's like, like there's Sunrise Cabaret, there's Clyde Ryder, but I just Mike Ryder, like has a good ring to it.
Yeah.
So it's like you got Mike Chavez and then Clyde Ryder, they kind of mix. So it's Mike Ryder. Yeah. I like that. when you said that, it originally, kind of a question that popped into my mind was, how do you balance not only the alter ego, how do you balance being and doing, right? You're being, which is Mike Chavez, and then this becoming, which is this Clyde Ryder.
Yeah.
So how do you
transition? Because I lost the Michael Chavez for a long time.
Yeah.
There was no Michael Chavez. It was only Clyde Ryder at this period of my life in Humboldt. And it wasn't until I completely felt, because this Clyde Ryder was basically someone who was more bold, more courageous, more purposeful, driven, had goals, you know, was just an all-around better person. And I eventually just became that 100% of the time. Mm. And then that's where it was like cohesively, okay, Michael Chavez and Clyde Ryder are now the same person. Mm. But the being and doing this, it's like something I've been interested in for the beginning of this year, especially because I'm a huge goal-oriented person. I'm very goal-driven. In 2020 especially, like, I did the whole resolution thing to a T, and I had like pages and pages filled of all these things I was going to do.
I would love to go into that, because this is crazy. You guys have no idea like what this dude did at the beginning of 2020. Like, it would blow your mind. So yeah, go into that, please.
Do you want me to talk about that?
Well, yeah, that's kind of where you're going.
Okay.
So that's where you're going.
So then I'm doing this goal setting thing.
Yeah.
And I have it all planned out. And I'm like, okay, like, I know exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm going to accomplish all of this because I have faith. I have God on my side. He tells me that I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing, and he talks to me. So I have faith. Let's do this. Let's quest in faith.
Totally.
And I was like, to start this, though, I'm going to go ahead and ground myself, really settle into these goals and my faith in God, because he's going to be the one who's helping me. So I decided to go on the longest fast I've ever done, which was a 5-day water fast, just water and tea. And I like to cheat with honey. Nah. That's my thing. and you know, it's just clarity. That's why I do it. I get it for clarity, and there's no crud in my system at all. All toxins have been eliminated, most of them at least. And now I have this divine, clear connection with my higher power. Mm-hmm. And I continued the fast for another 21 days. It was a Daniel fast. And this was fruits, veggies, and nuts. You can read about it in the book of Daniel of the Bible. And that's when all of these like things from God would come to me, and I would see these visions. And then I remember one day I was like, okay, well, what's my next step? You know, I'm kind of idling here. And he's like, go apply for this job up in the mountains. I was like, okay. And I remember the job. It was my fifth grade camp, actually, which was crazy. And I found them right away from the first Google search. I found them, called them, had an interview that Saturday. They called me back. They said they're going to call me Wednesday. They called me back the same day and was like, come up here. You're working for us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, awesome. And it was the first time I got to really incorporate, because it's a Christian conference center for kids.
Got it.
I got to incorporate God into the adventure. Hmm. So that's kind of where Native Quest started to take new ideas too. And I'll talk about that later. But then COVID hit, you know, right after I had my first personal group where I got to mentor them for the whole week.
Yeah.
And we had these life-changing experiences. I remember this one girl, Emily. So we take them rock climbing on small walls. And then the next day, we take them to the big stuff, and there's this tree called the Centurion. Mm-hmm. It's 111 feet tall,
wow.
Massive. and there's these fourth graders who are 3 feet tall.
Puny.
Yeah. And this girl, Emily, was on the rock wall, the small one first, and, you know, it's only like 15 feet high. She got like 10 feet and she's like, nope, take me down. I'm scared. I can't do it. Take me down now. Now. And I was like, usually I try to push them and motivate them, but I was like,
she's not good.
Yeah. We'll get you down. But she comes next day and she's like, I want to do the Centurion, the 111 foot tree. I'm like, all right, okay, let's strap you up. Like, if you want to do it, let's do it.
Yeah.
And she climbs up, she gets past 10 feet. She's like, I don't know about this. I'm like, Emily, you're killing it. Just keep going. You know, just a little bit more. Here's a goal. Hit that little goal. And then, you know, if you get there, we'll see how you feel. And she gets to that little goal. And then she doesn't even ask me. She just keeps going. I'm like, okay. I won't say anything.
Okay, Emily.
And then, and then she hits the halfway point. She's 50 feet high. And I'm like, don't look down. Just keep going up. You got it. And just sending all this positive motivation. And then now she starts freaking out. She looks down. She's freaking out. And then she's on the verge of tears. Like, she's not going to do it. She's like, get me down now. And I don't know how I convinced her, but the whole entire school actually came around with the teachers. Wow. And all the kids were around me. And we're all just, Emily, Emily, Emily. Yeah. And it was nuts, dude. Yeah. And this girl just kept going. And she climbed all the way to the top of this 111-foot tree. And she jumped off, went to the trapeze and did the whole experience and came down. And she's like, Clyde, did you see me? Did you see me up on the tree? And I was like, Emily, I saw you. It was the best.
Yeah.
And then it was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever been able to be a part of, is to mentor these kids. And even though it was only a week, I felt like I received so much from it and got so much confidence from God. But that fast. So that got me spiritually grounded. Mm. I got told on Friday the 13th, I believe of March, that we are no longer gonna have camp and you are now furloughed and let go. I surprisingly didn't respond the way my coworkers did in distress and fear. I kind of was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, God, what's next?
Yeah.
And I literally went out, it was raining that day, and I took my Bible and read some verses. And one of them that just opened itself to the page was basically, it's in Jeremiah. I can't remember perfectly what the verse was, but give me your fears and anxieties. You know, I'm going to go ahead and take them for myself, and I'll go ahead and give you a peaceful mind, peaceful heart. Mm. And that's what happened. And I just trusted him for the rest of the year. And, you know, I had a lot of goals like that I set, but I realized it wasn't about the doingness this year.
Yeah.
It was about the beingness.
The being, yeah.
Yeah. And that's where, like, the meditation and the breath work really started to form within myself.
Yeah.
It was just, how do I be the best version of myself and have that person walk every day?
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about doing, and then that was the being.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like 2021 and going forward is almost becoming, right? Mm-hmm. And I've seen you step into that, just even with Mastermind. And that 8 weeks and that transformation, obviously I wasn't directly integrated with your group, but I think you're taking that on, is this almost like of becoming, right? Mm-hmm. So you did Mastermind, and then halfway through, you're like, yeah, so I just got breathwork certified.
Yeah.
And so how's that been? Like,
inspired by the breath,
first,
by Mastermind.
First, give me a little, or for the people listening, give them like a little breakdown of what breathwork is.
Yeah, of course. So my first introduction to breathwork was a friend had sent me a video by Joe Rogan, who was interviewing Wim Hof.
Oh, wow.
And this was like maybe like 2 years ago now, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I watched just a 10-minute clip and then went back to the full video and fully watched everything. I was like, who is this guy? This is insane. And he has a whole breathwork routine where, you know, it's like three intervals, and you really intake fully the oxygen, and then you hold it and you hold it empty. And like, that's usually a stress, you know, mechanism that happens in the body. It's like, I have empty air, I should be freaking out. But he's like, stay calm, you got this. And the breath work that he teaches is really about controlling your inside, your body, and controlling your mind, that you really are okay in these stressful situations. So the breath work was really just putting myself into a hyper stressful situation, and I'm like, going all in, and then holding on empty, and all these, you know, crazy feelings are happening in my body. It's like this electric current is like moving through me. It's nuts. And from there, like, that was I like from the first time I did it, I just never stopped, and I did it every day. And it was because of the way I felt. It was only like a 5 minute, 15 minute little thing I implemented in my day, but drastically changed how the rest of my day would be. And it became my morning routine, was wake up, do breath work. And like I said, 15 minutes, and it would just ground me into a state of presence, which I think was my favorite thing about it. It'd give me a still mind so that after the breath work, I'd be able to step into prayer or meditation and kind of ponder on how my day would go and set my intentions for it. But it's the base work.
Yeah, yeah. And so with Mastermind, we actually had two people, Hella and Lucas, and they have a company called Awaken Breathwork. And I just remember like watching you during those things, and they're like, wait, we're doing breathwork? Like the excitement. I just remember like 3 or 4 weeks later, you're like, yeah, I'm breathwork certified, and now I'm gonna like teach people if anybody wants to come and do that.
It was crazy because like it was Helen really who, I was like, well, she could do it. Because I saw her facilitating and I was like, I could do that.
I'm a glide rider. I can do
anything. Before that certification, I was facilitating breath work. I used to do these full, I still do. I do these full moon ceremonies where we do breath work, intention setting, and releasing. But I was never certified, but I've been guiding it for quite a while. So I was like, all right, let me just get the piece of paper. And also, I wanted to learn that the one that she knows, which is like really heavy, ancient technique of breathing. And then I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, Helen's doing this breath work, Awaken. Let me see. And I started to look up some things, and I found one that I liked called Golden Air, taught by Chris Keener.
He's awesome.
You know him?
Yeah. He did breath work at Good Workhouse.
I think that's how I found him.
Yeah.
Because he was tagged in the post.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Chris Keener is incredible.
Oh, he's a beautiful
He was
person.
My first breath work experience.
Amazing.
But I only got to do it virtually.
Yeah.
But I just remember, and his is intense. Like, you're like, whoa.
Dude, he taught me. He taught me how to do it.
He's amazing.
And I've taken people through, I'll talk about that, through portals. Yeah. So I'm thinking about
You're seeing
this.
Turquoise. Like, what the fuck? Like, why am I seeing colors right now?
Yeah,
bro?
It's so crazy, man. Everyone's different experiences.
Yeah.
Nuts. But I was thinking about it, and I remember driving on Halloween, actually, October 31st, driving to my sister's house, and I'm playing this meditative music in my car, and then I'm like, I have a vision. Like, I can see still, I see the road, but, like, there's a mental vision happening in my head.
Yeah.
And it's me doing this primal breath work where I'm just standing up and I'm like, and it's just powerful.
Yeah.
It is powerful. And I'm on a stage elevated on this platform, and there is just this massive crowd in front of me. And I guess I'm at a concert or a festival.
Coachella breath work.
Coachella vibes.
Go to Scheller.
It's the Sunday morning 6 a.m. breath work sesh.
Yeah, exactly.
Down.
Yeah.
And
sunrise breath work at Coachella.
Dude, I would love that.
That's going to happen.
It will, definitely. I've hit up festivals before. Like, hey, I'm a facilitator.
Yeah.
Before I had any certification. I was like, I do this, this, and this, even though I did it.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, maybe totally they say yes,
whatever. Just messing with the energy.
I do it for free.
Yeah.
I'm cheap.
Oh, man.
But it was so good, that vision. I remember like feeling the presence. Like, the Mastermind taught me this. It was the week of moving ideas from the mind to the heart.
Ah.
And I was trying to take this on.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is a vision in my head. How do I move this?
Yeah.
And I felt it. I went into that moment, and I became that facilitator, and that was a real event.
I remember this.
Yeah. And the crowd started doing the breath work back, and it was the most insane energy exchange I've ever felt in my entire life. And I was feeling it, and I had this adrenaline rush while I was on like the 91 freeway. And I almost had to like pull over. I was like, started tearing up. I was like, what is going on right now? I was like, okay, I gotta get certified. I got it.
Yeah.
And I did. And I've been doing the Zoom stuff like every week, every Thursday on my Instagram. And then I had an in-person one like a month ago. And then people left. You know, people had their own experience. People had visions. There was one lady who laughed, and it's like not a big deal, but she hadn't laughed in like years.
Whoa.
And she laughed, and her laughter was so contagious that the entire room started erupting in laughter while we're breathing heavy.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, dude. It was an experience for sure.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about, well, obviously right now with COVID, it's very difficult to do in-person events. But you've done some in the past with Native Quest. Native Quest is his business. And it's incredible the stuff that you do. Bringing these people on what I've been calling like hard adventures.
Yeah, yeah.
So they bring
like
these people
that.
On these hard adventures yeah. into nature and immersing them into this the beauty, as some would say, is like the beauty of God and
yeah.
and taking them into those places to then bring their hearts out, bring their souls out. So tell me a little about
you said it. Yeah. You said it better than I did.
Well. But you're the guy that does it, so like, I need the clip for the Instagram post. Like, what is Native Quest?
Native Quest. So basically, like you said, I create these experiences that really give the opportunity to intimately guide somebody through nature. Mm. And I promise them wonderful, beautiful pictures of Big Sur waterfalls and Joshua trees and vast deserts and hot springs, this and that, right? Like that's the pull.
Yeah.
But it's so much more than that. And it's always difficult to explain and put into words because of what takes place specifically on the 3-day like out of state experiences or even here. People come with the intention to see beauty and have some adventure, but then they start to like shed all of their masks and like the beingness that you're talking about. There's no more doing, there's no more tasks to check off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they don't have work, they don't have to be productive. There's no such thing right now.
It's presence,
which allows them to be and allows them to be like the childlike nature comes out of people and is very fruitful and abundant. And then they start to connect with other people who are becoming their childlike self. So now we're bonding and playing and the relationships of stranger to family happens in like 2 or 3 days and it's mind-blowing. And sometimes I get a little jealous because like people meet up on these trips and then they form their own friendships and bonds and I'm like, where's my invite? Like I brought you guys together. But it's so beautiful. It's like lifelong memories. And like you said earlier, I bring them out to connect with nature and be intimate. But I believe God is really guiding me on this journey for a reason, and it's my mission, because as I take people out here, like I said, I promise them the beauty, but what they really do see subconsciously is God's abundant creation.
Mm.
And they see all the little intricate details and why it all matters, and at some point, there becomes this happening where now we all feel the connection to ourselves, to each other, but then to the place we're at.
Wow.
And I mean, it's extremely grounding, and we come out of these experiences so motivated and inspired, and people just start producing, and people start getting creative again, and people start living, people get sober, people get out of depression. Like I've seen so many different things happen, and it blows me away, it truly does.
Yeah, that's incredible. I love how you talked about the intimate connection with nature. I think that's something that we all need a little bit more of.
Yeah.
And we're actually starting to see this huge exodus into nature, I think.
Mm-hmm.
People from the city just going out
and
just going into nature. I mean,
exactly.
Now more than ever, national parks just in California alone are packed with people.
All the time, man. There's a huge line to Joshua Tree.
And it's nuts. Like, just to see that people are finally getting out of the screen and into the world. And I think that's something beautiful, and what I love what you do with it is it's not like you're bringing hundreds of people out into nature, right?
Sometimes.
Not like you're bringing thousands of people out in one day, maybe for like a festival.
I will have that.
But I think these more intimate experiences
are really
compelling, that can only be held in 20-person groups.
Yeah, exactly. There's some trips that I do where I cap it. And it's not more than 20, and it's not more than 12. And it's because when it gets over those numbers, then the clicks start to form.
Totally.
But if you keep it anywhere between like a 16 to 18 person, 12 to 18 person ratio, then it's a true tribe and family kind of bonding trip. And I mean, the festivals are great and all, but like you said, you can really learn a lot about yourself on the smaller, intimate trips. Because it's beautiful too, because like the more I progress in my own walks of life and my spirituality and in breath work and meditation and all of these different facets that I'm involved in, I just get to bring that into Native Quest, and it becomes this beautiful melting pot of wellness for people.
Totally.
And partners.
Is Native Quest the name, does that come from like the Native American stuff that you saw in Humboldt, or is that
I mean, subconsciously, I'm sure that's where I got it from, because like that was the people I was looking up to. Yeah. Humboldt is on Wiat land, and it's very known and very apparent where we live and, you know, who are our neighbors. Mm-hmm. And I've always respected their way of life. Like, they are living in harmony, and that was like what Genesis in the Bible says. God's like, man and woman, you are going to be the cultivators and caretakers of this world, and you're gonna go ahead and live in harmony with it. Shalom, right? That was the word that it uses. Shalom is like harmony, and Native Americans had it down to a T.
Yeah.
So I look up to them, and I take a lot of the philosophies that they've had, and then the Native in Native Quest is basically getting down to your roots. Like, who are you really? Shed the mask, shed the layers. What is your soul like? You know, there's a question in the mastermind I think you came up with. Instead of how are you really, how is your soul?
Yeah, how's your soul feeling?
Yeah, how's your soul feeling? And just remember that. That was a good question.
Or it was instead of, I think, you know, we get caught up asking people, oh, like, how are you? Oh, good.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was like, it's add one more word to that. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
And if you add that, then that's when everybody sheds the, from like the I'm good, where they go to the I'm okay, or I'm all right.
And then you get like, a little dig, and, you get
and,
a dig.
And then you're like, it's just okay. And they're like, yeah. And then they go into it.
Yep.
And I think that's been the biggest turning point, is just when I'm asking people questions, is how are you feeling? Like, I don't care how you are. Like, I know it sounds bad. Yeah. Like, and technically, if I'm going to go into my English side of my brain, technically saying I'm good afterward is English is improper. You're supposed to say I'm well. So my teacher ingrained that in my brain, and I can't get it out. That's the one thing like I learned in high school. You know what I mean? But going into how are you feeling is so impactful. And I think the quest that you're bringing these people on really brings that out of them, is the how are you feeling? And that's something I've also been, just through conversation, trying to understand is, okay, so we are this person, we are this being, right? We have this, obviously there's the being, the physical, then there's the higher, so there's the soul. So we are who we are, right? And but this, in our entire life, there's either other experiences or other forces or whatever that may be trying to make us into something, right? And I think a lot about why Intentionally Human has really struck a chord with me, is because I don't feel like we're really living intentionally anymore, right? We allow those, that conditioning, that programming, to kind of just turn us into these people that others want us to be, or the things that we think we need to be.
Yeah, it's a little controlling.
Exactly. Yeah. And this idea of living intentionally human, of going on these quests, is actually returning home. Is realizing who we are. And that's what life is about. It's about figuring out who you already are. You already are who you are.
Exactly.
It's just about unpacking that and uncovering that. I think what you're doing is allowing people to, like you said, take away that chameleon-esque.
And question yourself. Why am I this way? What of society or my parents and friends or past experiences made me this way? Is this really me?
Yeah.
You know, because it's not all attached to us.
Yeah. Because it's like you said, it's really easy to do. You can do. Everybody has a Houston Kraft talks about it, and he probably heard it from someone else. But it's the to-do versus the to-be list. Yeah. It's like you have the to-do list, you get that done at the end of the day, great, but now I'm left unfulfilled and all this stuff. So how can I actually be? How can I be present? How can I be mindful?
Yeah.
How can I do breath work and meditation that ground me into the sense of being rather than the sense of doing? And again, like I've said, I think that's something beautiful that you're actually incorporating not only in your daily practice, but then you're showing other people that it's possible to be.
and then
elevate and then become.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think a lot
and
of
then
it
teach.
Is, yeah, exactly.
Then they get
exactly.
to teach others, and it becomes like this you know, now it's, it came from me, but it's just, there's no containing it anymore. It's a wildfire.
Yeah.
And that's the goal, to spark people and turn them on.
Totally. And it's almost, it's selflessly selfish mm-hmm. because you want it, you're doing it like, oh, I want to help others and teach others. But then you're like, it makes me feel yeah. so good. Like that's why I think, people don't realize about service is
yeah.
it's really selfless. Service is selfless. Teaching others is selfless. Mentorship is selfless. But you don't realize how much you get out of it and how much your cup is actually filled when you're helping others.
Yeah.
I think that's like one of the last things I wanted to go into really was this idea of, there's a lot going on right now of like, oh, we need to focus on ourselves and really prioritize ourselves. And I think that's true. But then there's also everybody else saying, oh, you need to help all these other people and do all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you help yourself in a non-selfish way, mm-hmm. right? Where it's not just like, I'm focusing on myself, me. But then how do you balance that, right? I think I think something that you've done well is just, you're very good at balancing in this state of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you balance that, you know, focusing on yourself inward through meditation or whatever, which then allows you to actually step into the world and be of service?
That's exactly it. I mean, I have a morning routine that this is my selfish period of the day. I don't think about it as that. It's just my time to be with myself. It's my seclusion. And it's just basically I wake up and now it's kind of programmed into my mind where I don't have to think about it, totally. Which is nice. I wake up and my brain instantly goes to three things I'm grateful for, or God, whichever's first. And so already I'm in a present state. Like, what am I grateful for? Well, I have to be here now to think about it. And then I ask myself, why am I grateful for these things? So now I'm just like diving deeper and I'm already happy. Yeah. I start off happy and then I go into breath work and then this wakens up my body. I don't drink coffee or anything. Like if I drink coffee, it's because I want the taste of it.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm tired or exhausted. Mm. I drink water in the morning to, you know, completely hydrate my body. But then I do breath work to wake it up and to refresh it and turn it on, to reboot the system basically.
Yeah.
And then I pray. And there's this prayer that I tell myself every single day and I go through it and I have a skeletal structure of it and I make it my own every single day. And once I get out of this, I'm grounded, I am me, my intentions are set. I'll say some affirmations, which I began doing this year too because it's focused on the beingness, not the doingness. So this is who I am. I am this, I am this, I am this, I am this. I am a shepherd who guides people to the light. I am a shepherd who leads the blind, and you know, this is me. And I say, tell myself this every single day. So now when I walk out into the world, then whatever happens, I'm able to just be my best self in this world. And it's like people like you who have this podcast, who are speaking to the world and spreading this message of truth. It's like, well, I want to help with that. Mm. Like maybe I'll have something to say where there's like, something in there on all this nonsense that came out, you know, that speaks to one person.
Totally.
And that's the goal, is to collaborate with other people like yourself and these other people who are awake, who have so many different outlets to spread the message. My goal is to spread the message, spread truth, and spread life. Yeah. So if you have something where you're spreading life and a message, I'm like, I want to hop on that. Totally. We can create together. And I think 2021 especially is all about creating.
Yeah, creation, action, all those beautiful things.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's come to that time of the show where it's rapid fire questions.
Oh, Shiba!
So these are rapid fire questions for me too, because I'm thinking of them on the spot just from our conversation.
Okay.
And I kind of wanted to run a couple by you, see where your head's at. The point is to keep it to one sentence-ish.
Okay.
It can be like a run-on or whatever.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it short.
And then I would love to actually have you just run after the rapid fire, run us through like a quick like 5 or 10 minute breath work.
Oh, yeah, of course, for sure.
So, okay, first rapid fire question right off the top of my head. If you could go one place and bring one person, celebrity, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whoever. Where would it be and who would it be and why? And that can be a little bit longer.
So I would take this girl that I just met at Mountain High, like literally a couple days ago, to these hot springs in Mammoth. Ooh. And obviously, because it's a dream scenario, there's a cabin already paid for.
Yeah.
And that's all I would do. I'd be there for the weekend, and I'd have the best time of my life, and I'd be snowboarding.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds incredible. Wow. I actually heard this question from one of my friends recently, and she's like, this is how I figure out who a person is. If you could be a tree, what tree would you be?
A redwood.
Why?
Because it's the tallest tree of all, and I can overlook everything, and I'm right there on the coast.
Yeah, I said the same exact thing.
Did you?
Yeah. Or a Japanese cherry blossom.
Oh, that's a
good
one.
Well, actually, redwood, because they've been there for so long, and I'd be able to see all the stories that have walked through.
Exactly.
The forest.
Like, they're out thousands of years old, and they've experienced so much life, and they probably have, if they could speak, all the wisdom and the knowledge they can share.
Got it.
It's amazing. They're the elephants, you know, of the trees.
Totally. Describe Clyde Ryder in three words.
Outgoing, passionate, and ADHD.
now describe Mike Chavez in three words.
Two words, mama's boy.
Yeah, got it. Sweet. What does the future hold for Native Quests and you?
So I just did a vision workshop. Oh man, this is gonna be a whole nother scenario, a whole nother hour. Vision, okay, more retreats, more adventures, like festivals, all of those beautiful things that have already been happening, they're going to just be reoccurring.
Yeah.
But also this idea of community. Mm. The end vision is to have Native Quest Ranch, you know, where it's just it's a permanent location where this, what we talked about, happens every day.
Yeah.
And people can come and go, and people can live there and create and whatever they need to do. But before that happens, experiential living spaces for like a month period for 8 people where we get productive, we get creative, and we're all focused on wellness, and it's very intentional. It's where I'm gonna start.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. Just sounds like more life.
Yeah, exactly.
Breathing more life into this world and into others.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Beautiful. Now talking about breathing life.
Yeah, let's
do it. If you would, either just something like a quick 5 minute or
I'll do something short.
Minutes. Yeah, Levi, if you wanted to join, like, feel free. Sweet.
Yeah,
you can. Yeah, feel free. This is Levi. Can you see if it's still recording?
I'm doing my job. Oh, bro.
Is it stopped? It's fine.
No, it is. It's still going, but the fog residue is completely covered.
Oh, really? Just wipe it off.
We'll at least get this part.
Yeah.
The audio will be okay.
Yeah. Dude, that's dope though. And like,
holy cow.
A little bit better?
Okay, that's a little better.
Okay, cool. Yeah, feel free to join. Here, wait, let's flip it around so we can. It's still recording?
Yeah.
Dude, that's nuts.
Oh, cool. Well, at least we get the shadows and the blurs.
Yeah, sweet.
Okay, so this one, since I'm like feeling super awake right now because it's a podcast, I was thinking we could like be verbal about it.
Dope.
And there's like nobody around here, so let's kind of...
Yeah, just the football dudes over there.
Yeah.
And the houses, but it's not.
Let's, whether it's laughter or screaming or howling or whatever, or humming or vibrating, whatever it needs to be for you, then we'll just take some deep inhales. And as we inhale fully, we'll let out this or whatever it needs to be, and we'll just do that for a little bit.
Oh no,
that's all I needed to get out.
Like, oh, that's that Chick-fil-A comes again.
I knew I should have got the vegan thing.
Vegan burrito, bro.
Okay, and then we'll just inhale and go on your own pace.
How are we doing? Nose inhale or mouth?
Go for the mouth and just fully fill in the stomach and fill in the chest as you do it.
Totally.
Keep it going. I'm just going to explain the next one. On this next one, as you inhale, just bring your hands into your heart space as you inhale, and fully just flex every muscle in your body and become tense. And as you exhale, just release it outside of you and give it out. So we can go ahead, inhale and bring it all in. Tense up and tighten and hold it and feel it in your heart space, and then just release it on your exhale and let it out into the world. Breathe in all that love and that energy and the energy we're giving off from each other, and then just give it back. Just constant balance of receiving and giving. You're taking in life, you're taking in love, grounding yourself. And as you ground yourself, this is when you release it to the world and you give and you share. Just a couple more. Just be really intentional. What are you bringing in into yourself, into your heart space? What is it for you? Really feel it and hold it. What are you giving to the world? What are you sharing? What's your impact? Just two more. Last one. Slowly breathe, and breathe in deep and breathe in heavy. This last one, you're just gonna have some fun with it. This is called Breath of Fire. It's gonna be rapid breath work through the nose. You're gonna focus on the exhale out of your nose. The inhale will just automatically happen. Don't worry about it, don't think about it. Start off slow at your own pace. And then as you get comfortable, pick up the intensity. And start 3, 2. Keep it up, keep breathing, keep staying intense, fully in. Just 10, 15 more seconds, and at the end, I'm gonna ask you to fully inhale and hold at the top. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, inhale at the top, hold it. Now feel all that gold and all that light around you. Create this bubble. And just start throwing things into this bubble. Things you love. Ideas you have for 2021. Passion projects. People you're grateful for. Just put them in this bubble. This bubble that's connected to your being right now. That is connected to your open heart, and just share your love for these ideas and share your love for these people and thank them for being involved in your life. And just sit with it for a little bit, catch your breath when you need to, and we'll open up our eyes in just a little bit. And as you're ready, open your eyes and enter the real world.
Sick. What's something that came up for you?
Me. Well, sometimes when I'm guiding, it's more what's coming up for me is what to say and how to guide. Like, I didn't have any idea of what I was going to lead, but it felt right to go ahead and guide you in this kind of avenue. So I think I was more focused on what was happening with you all, but there's some ideas on my head and some projects I'm currently working on that popped in.
Totally. Sweet. Well, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. That was incredible. And thank you guys for listening. to the Intentionally Human podcast. I hope that Mike's story has inspired you to be rather than do, and then seek becoming in 2021. So thank you so much. I appreciate it for your
good.
Gift.
It was a lot of fun.
And for your vulnerability, that was incredible. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys in the next story, in the next conversation.
Later, guys.